From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The litany of problems is familiar. Underfunded schools, crumbling infrastructure, burgeoning prisons, a dysfunctional legislature. Familiar and as yet unfixed. In fact, some are now arguing that nothing short of a radical solution will change things. Enter a proposal put forward on the opinion pages of both the San Jose Mercury and the San Francisco Chronicle in recent days. Have a constitutional convention. The idea is to completely retool the California state constitution and make our state governable again. Could it work? Could it happen? We'll consider that idea next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, sitting in this morning for Michael Krasny. California is a distinctive place, and we've just added a new distinction. We're the only state in the country this year that has yet to pass a state budget. And it's not just that the budget is more than 2 months past due, not that this has happened nearly every year for the past 30 years, it's that California seems to be reaching a point where dysfunctional governance is the norm. So this morning on Forum, we're not going to talk about the state budget per se. We're going to talk about what's wrong with how we govern ourselves. California ranks near the bottom in per-pupil school funding, has a prison population that's overflowing, and a water system that's barely flowing, and a hopelessly deadlocked legislative process. The evidence of dysfunction is apparent, but solutions seem much harder to find. Now along comes a big idea. Convene a constitutional convention. The goal? To rewrite California's constitution to make our state more governable. Is that idea far-fetched? Perhaps, but then again, given the scope of the problems confronting our state, why think small? One of those pushing the idea of a constitutional convention is Jim Wunderman. He's the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council, that's the business-oriented policy organization, and his column supporting the constitutional convention idea appears in this morning's San Francisco Chronicle titled, "This Government Has Failed Us." Mr. Wunderman, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. Joining us as well is Mark Paul. He's senior scholar at the New American Foundation, a public policy institute. Mr. Paul is a former editor with both the Oakland Tribune and the Sacramento Bee. And he was also the policy director or a policy director for the 2006 gubernatorial campaign of Democrat Phil Angelides. Mark Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Joel Fox joins us, too. He heads up his own political consulting firm, is also the president of the Small Business Action Committee, an action advocacy group for small business, and he's the former president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. He joins us from Los Angeles. Joel Fox, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, let's dig into this idea. We, as evidenced, I think, by everything we read and know, by the kinds of problems that I mentioned, Jim Wunderman, in the introduction, we know what the problems are. You want to go big in terms of the solution. So tell us first why you think we need such a big, such a radical idea to really get at the problems confronting California.
Well, as you said, it's pretty obvious, we think, to most reasonable thinkers in California that the system that governs us is indeed broken. We have seen the last 18 of the last 22 years, we've had a budget not delivered to us in a timely way. In several of those years, it's been extremely delayed. This may set the record. Doesn't seem like they're getting any closer. That's symptomatic of a system in which the legislative branch, as well as through the relationship with the governor, seems harder and harder to really grapple with the big problems. And the big problems are getting bigger. California's grown a lot. It's changed a lot. The system under which we operate is really outdated. The rules that govern the fiscal nature of the state were invented an awfully long time ago when the economy of the state, country, world was much different. And we're in a competitive, globally competitive environment in which change is necessitated. And so if the political system, legislative system, is stuck in the mud, that really threatens the very future of the state and our children. And it's probably time where we say, well, maybe this system really does need to change and we need to do this big thing, kind of start over and get a fresh look and new order to things.
And give me an example of rewriting the Constitution, because after all, California's rewrite the Constitution all the time. We pass,
Sure.
Propositions, initiatives that do that. So given that we seem to be, we happily go about that process, and in fact some would say that's part of the problem, why is it that we need a convention to do this en masse?
Well, what we've done is, in the, let's say the last 30 years or so, is we've seen a large number of individual initiatives, voter initiatives, that have amended the Constitution that have been significant changes to the way we govern ourselves. But those have been largely unrelated to each other. And I think they are in part the cause for, for example, just the way we elect people has caused us to elect a very polarized legislature, with Democrats on one side being extremely left-leaning, Republicans on the other side right-leaning, and very few centrists in the middle. In many other state legislatures, the Dems and Republicans work together quite well, especially during tough times. Here they dig in their heels, they talk to themselves. They're good people. It's not that the people are bad, it's the system that they're under is causing them to not be able to function. So first and foremost, we need to have a system that will elect more moderate folks from both parties. That could mean nonpartisan elections or open primaries or so forth. Second, we enable the legislators to fix their own districts, which then get gerrymandered to protect themselves. And, you know, this has been taken to the ultimate extreme in the latest iteration, in which we have almost every seat out of the 120 members of the legislature being a safe seat. That has also resulted in the primary being the actual election, and that in turn resulted in a more ideologically fixed extreme person being elected. Then we require in California, we're only one of three states in the union that do it, we require a two-thirds vote for the budget and other critical issues. And so the minority party is irrelevant. The Republicans, I think, hold one chairmanship out of the whole legislature right now. And so when they get to the point when the two-thirds vote is needed and their votes are required, there's a tendency for the minority party to dig in its heels, whether it's for ideological purposes or, you know, sudden sense of relevancy. It's hard to blame them for doing it.
Jim Wunderman, president and CEO of the Bay Area Council, who's advocating the idea that the only way to really make California governable again is to rewrite the state constitution en masse rather than just sort of peeling it off one constitutional proposition at a time. Mark Paul, what do you think of that idea that the problems are so big we really need a radical solution?
Well, I disagree, Dave, that it's a radical solution. We are, after all, Americans, and the heart of the American idea is that the people are the ultimate source of political power. And we have, our birth of our country was through an act of constitution making by a convention in 1787. And it's something we have done in the past in California. The current constitution, or the kernel of the current constitution in California, was written in a constitutional convention in 1788 and 1779. In the 1960s, we had in California a Constitutional Revision Commission that gave us the full-time professional legislature and other major modifications in the Constitution. And then the voters themselves, back in a century ago when they adopted the Initiative for Reform and Recall, fundamentally altered the nature of the system in California. So this is something that from time to time we as Americans and as Californians do and need to do in order to make our government, shape it in a way that fits our current needs.
And is now one of those times?
I think so. I think I commend Jim for his call. I think this is one of those times we have a horse and buggy constitution trying to shaping how we govern ourselves in an internet age. And I think it is time for there are many elements of the way state government works and the way we've organized ourselves politically that need fundamental change, and not just by the incremental changes that we do by the legislature, by the initiative process, which, you know, it's like building a house one room at a time, and you end up with a 700-room mansion. It doesn't really work as an overall way of governing ourselves. So starting over fresh, or at least thinking about the problem as a whole, would be a big step and an important step forward for California.
Mark Paul, senior scholar at the New American Foundation. Joel Fox, pursuing Mark Paul's analogy for a moment, is it time for not just a fresh coat of paint, but serious demolition and rebuilding?
You know, it's ironic, Dave, when your producer called me yesterday and asked me to be on the show, I was sort of caught for a moment by saying, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I've actually started to do a little research on what it would take to do a constitutional convention. So the idea had crossed my mind, too, that the frustration experienced by many Californians, both in and outside of government, may lead some to make the proposal. And as we know, Jim has now made the proposal. However, the question is, we're talking on a theoretical high plane. What are the practical experience and what are the potential outcomes of calling a constitutional convention? And I think those concerns have to be considered before we take this bold step. It's not like 1787 anymore. John Adams and James Madison are not here. They're not huddled in a quiet room with no outside influence. The situation would be quite different. Mark talked about the fact that we have already had one constitutional convention in 1879. We had some interesting things come out of that. I don't expect some of the most severe would be repeated, like terrible banishment of Chinese, for example, placed in the Constitution during a constitutional convention. But still, some extreme ideas may come to the fore. And also, who would be the delegates? And that's a question that I hadn't even resolved yet, and maybe Jim has done some studying on this. But there would be definitely interests that would try to dominate the convention and get their way, and what would be the outcome? So I think we can talk about the theory that maybe we should debate this. I certainly think we should discuss it. But what are the practical outcomes?
Yeah. Well, let's dig into those some, because Joel Fox raises some interesting points, Jim Wunderman. After all, the initiative process, the idea of putting ballot propositions out there for people to vote on, came up 100 years ago as a fundamental reform. And in time, most people now think that that process has been captured by special interests. What's to keep this idea from also being captured by special interests? What are the practicalities of how you make this work, starting with who are the delegates? Who is the Constitutional Convention?
Well, the good points raised by both of the speakers, and that's an open question. The constitutional process calls for a fair distribution of delegates from the geographic distribution from the state.
And we should be clear just for a moment that this is something allowed for within the Constitution. Yeah, the legislature can call for a constitutional convention, or people themselves can put this together.
Yeah, there are essentially three ways it could be done, and probably the most likely way to get it passed would be through two-thirds of the legislature voting to call a convention. That has to be ratified first by the voters by majority vote, and then there would be the convention, and they would have to determine what the makeup of the delegates would be. But you would have to guess that it would be a diverse group of people. Joel is right. It's not going to be a one-sided group in any event, and there would be special interests at the table, because that's how we do things these days. There is a requirement that that reform be brought forward out of that process, so the group has to be able to recommend things. Now, it's possible that as a result of the diversity involved, that it could be so watered down that it really doesn't amount to much. Or it's possible that through the proper leadership and recognizing that the system that we have today and is so broken and the direction that it's heading so impossible to conceive as going forward, that over time the participants would say, okay, let's put some of these interests aside and let's see if we could come to a common understanding about what's in the best interests of the state. And, you know, as you mentioned, the initiative process itself, I think that's one of the areas in which those a century ago in giving these powers to Californians didn't intend for them to be so taken by special interests. And so, you know, one of the ideas that's been put forward is, and if a group puts forward an initiative and collects the signatures and it's headed for the ballot, give the legislature some time to work on that issue and allow them to deal with the nuances of it, so we don't end up with a constitutional amendment carved in stone only the voters can change it, and now we have to live with it, and it has numerous unintended consequences. So I think these are all very legitimate concerns, but I would juxtapose them to living with the status quo, which I think, no matter what stripe you come from, it's becoming clear it's more and more unacceptable.
Mark Paul, at the New America Foundation, your view on how you get at the practicalities of this, just in listening to Jim Wunderman describe that the easiest way a constitutional convention could come into being is if the legislature created one by a two-thirds vote. Well, we all know how hard it is for the legislature to do anything by two-thirds vote. So is it possible? Is there really a way that this could come into being?
Well, certainly if the method of convening the convention is by two-thirds of the legislature, it would take, you know, a period of discussion and pressure in California to push the legislature to that point. I think it's also possible, my reading of the Constitution, you know, is that also that the voters by initiative could call for a constitutional convention. That's not plainly clear in the Constitution, but I think the way the courts have ruled in the past about the priority of the voters and the initiative process, that it's possible that this could be initiated by the voters themselves if they wanted to and the legislature were not of a mind to do it. But I think, you know, that Joel, you know, makes an important point to remember is that any constitutional convention would happen within the political context of you know, the battle between interest groups, et cetera, in California. But it's important to remember that, you know, the people who wrote the first Constitution in the United States, the federal Constitution, you know, they weren't saints. They were all practical politicians, and they were representatives of particular interest groups. Constitution-making process, you know, takes place within the context of its own time. And that's not an argument against doing it. It's there is no way to avoid that.
Mark Paul, senior scholar at the New America Foundation. He joins us this morning from Sacramento. Joel Fox, does it make sense to you to do all of this to get at all of these things at once, as opposed to, let's say, just tackling one thing that we're focused on right now, which is the problems of passing a state budget when you have a two-thirds majority requirement? Why not just try to change that so that budgets, for example, only take a simple majority to pass?
Well, I understood that Jim's proposal was looking more certainly at the budget problem, but he listed a lot of concerns about the way California is operating. So I thought that the proposal that was on the floor was one to consider how we govern ourselves beyond the budget. But to answer your question, Dave, certainly you could deal with the budget problem individually. You can do it by an initiative. In fact, that was attempted, I think, was it in 2004? Or was it 2006?
Proposition
56. 2004. Thank you.
Yes.
Proposition 56 was on the ballot, and it would require the budget to be passed with less than a two-thirds vote. It was defeated by a 2-to-1 margin. So obviously, that avenue is there for anyone who wants to take it. I think the discussion here is much broader. I served on a number of state commissions. My last one was Governor Schwarzenegger had me on the California Performance Review Commission, if folks remember that, sort of a shooting star that disappeared quickly over the sky. That's when he first came into office, and the idea was to take a look at how we govern ourselves and come up with a proposal on change, and it filled three telephone book size suggestions. And we had hearings, and as part of my role as a commissioner, we listened to those who had concerns with these proposals. We went around the state, had a dozen or so hearings, and everybody was defending their turf. Everyone saying every commission, I know one of Jim's proposals that he makes in the Chronicle this morning is that we should sunset some of the commissions and agencies, which I think is a good idea. But I can tell you from my experience on the revision California Performance Review that everybody comes out, defends their agency, saying the government couldn't survive without it, and it becomes a real chore for us to make a change. So given that, perhaps, and I haven't studied this all the way through, perhaps one of the ways to handle all these complicated matters is trying to do it at once with a constitutional convention.
On that point, Mark Paul, if we see the problems that are inherent in sort of peeling these off one at a time, as Joel Fox was just describing, we also have heard that it's difficult to do it all at once, like the Performance Review Commission that he's a part of. I guess something I'm curious about, and that's whether or not a constitutional convention can really get something that in some ways is perhaps more cultural to California. You've written about this in various opinion pieces that we have. I think at one point you said that our state motto should be, we want something for nothing, that there's a sort of mentality right now in California that we want great state services, we want great schools, we just don't really want to pay for them. And so if that's the real problem to a certain extent, that would seem to be something that is so intrinsic in a way in our contemporary culture that it would require something beyond just getting a group of people to modify the convention.
Well, I think you're right about there's a larger problem. But remember, I think that, for instance, the something for nothing mentality in California is a product, partly a product of learning that voters do from what politicians operating in the current system tell them. And if you're going to change the mindset, what you need to have is a different kind of conversation in California, a more adult conversation that recognizes that there are trade-offs between things. And that's the kind of thing that if we work up to a constitutional convention process, that we could in California begin to have that conversation and that learning go on. I mean, I think one of the most serious problems we have with governance in California, you know, beyond the fact that a lot of our government institutions are somewhat creaky, is that our political culture is fairly weak in California because of the way we conduct elections and the way we communicate politically through 30-second ads. And I think one of the things that's appealing to me about the idea of a constitutional convention and is the conversation that leads up to it, that goes on during the convention, and then that would go on if the convention makes a recommendation and we have a debate in the state about whether or not to adopt whatever the convention recommends. And that in itself would be an important change in California, and I think healthy for our state.
We have to take a break in just a moment, but have you begun, Jim Wunderman, the process of getting allies in this, getting people, whether it's a Dianne Feinstein or the governor or whoever, who could begin to say, you know, we need this kind of big, high-minded process to take place?
Well, we did start. As soon as we conceived the idea of putting this forward, we started to make some phone calls and send out some letters and emails and so forth. So I've contacted the senior people in the governor's office. We're dropping a letter to all 120 legislators tomorrow with a copy of the piece that appeared in the Chronicle. I called the former governors Wilson and Gray Davis yesterday and sent them copies. And we intend to reach out to opinion leaders like those on the show and others in key groups, because this would take a major effort to move the needle. But we intend to give it our best. We think it's really important.
And we'll come back in just a moment to continue our conversation about how to fix governance in California. We welcome your thoughts, too. Is the idea of a state constitutional convention the right one? How else? Why might we begin to govern California more effectively? You can join us now at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. Back with more in just a moment. This is Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, the idea of calling a state constitutional convention to try to get at all of California's governing problems, put together a new revised state constitution that would make the state more governable so that we're not constantly hamstrung in the way that we are with a wide variety of problems. Our guests include Jim Wunderman, who is the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council, the business-oriented policy organization here in the Bay Area. He wrote a column supporting this idea that appears in this morning's San Francisco Chronicle. Mark Paul joins us, too. He's senior scholar at the New America Foundation. And Joel Fox, who heads up his own consulting firm and is the former president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. We really welcome your thoughts on this topic, too. What your perception is of how California is governed right now, what you think could be done to fix it, and whether or not this idea of a state constitutional convention is the right approach. You can join us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us your thoughts at forum@kqed.org. Let's go first to Anne this morning, who joins us in San Leandro. Anne, go ahead.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to say that I've grown up in California. I was born here. I grew up in Redding. My mom still lives there. She's a conservative Republican. I'm in San Leandro. I'm a leftist liberal. My dad is in Sacramento. He's a moderate Democrat. I have relatives all over the state. And I have relatives in L.A., and what we are very careful about is never discuss California politics.
Right.
We can actually discuss, you know, national politics without getting into a fight, but California politics, what we find is that wherever you live in the state, we tend to, the needs of one area of the state will take away from the needs of another area of the state.
Well,
and I'm not sure how modifying the Constitution would change that.
Yeah, provocative point, Anne. Thank you. Thanks for bringing us to that. Joel Fox, respond to that, because Anne's point, obviously, is we're so split and polarized and divided because we're so split, polarized, and divided, that our government is reflective of who we are.
Well, maybe the solution instead of a constitutional convention is we should split the state of California into three or four parts. We get a lot more senators that way. she's obviously right. San Francisco and Orange County probably don't speak to each other at certain times, but we are one state. I think the people of California want to remain one state. Frankly, I just made a joke about splitting the state, but that's been talked about many times over the history of California, and it has never happened because I think Californians like the idea of California and want to keep it in place, but with it comes these hurdles that we have to deal with. But we manage somehow. We move on. Sure, there are bumps in the road. We had a constitutional convention in 1879. We've had revision commissions in the past. And I believe that we can deal with this problem. It will take some time. It will take some discussion. And maybe the answer is the big idea that Jim puts forth. Maybe it can be resolved with some more minor tinkering. But I still think that there's Californians want to keep functioning the way we have in the past.
So maybe just as Anne suggests with her family with wildly different views, sometimes you have to get a family that's having trouble all in the same room at the same time, that this is analogous to that?
It could be a solution. The question is, do they all stomp out mad and never talk to each other again?
Right. Nick in San Mateo is next. Nick, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm curious if any of your speakers thought that there are any other states that are an interesting model to use for changes that we should be looking at in California.
Nick, thank you. Mark Paul, why don't you take a swing at that?
Well, the thing that jumps to mind is not in a state, actually, is a province of Canada in British Columbia. They recently held what was called a citizens' assembly, which was a group of randomly picked average citizens in the province, and their charge was to look at the way that British Columbia elected its provincial parliament and to make recommendations for political reform in changing the voting system to make their provincial government more representative of the people of British Columbia. And I believe other Canadian provinces are going through similar sorts of citizen assembly processes. And we at New America had recommended and had a bill in the legislature a couple of years ago to do a similar thing here in California, to look at how we conduct elections to get rid of our current system and to consider, for instance, proportional representation election and other ways to deal with the problem that Jim has talked about, which is that a polarization among the elected officials in the legislature that doesn't necessarily reflect the real views of California.
Mark Paul, what about a state like Nebraska? I don't know if there are others that has a unicameral legislature, just one house. Would that make a difference in your judgment if California, given how gargantuan it is and that the current legislative district sizes are so huge that each representative and especially each state senator represents, each state senator represents what, something like a million people? Would it matter if we just changed that structurally?
Well, I think that would be, certainly, to my mind, is sort of one of the key issues that a constitutional convention would need to think about, or a constitutional revision. Our legislature, we have one of the smallest legislatures in the country, and of course we're by far the most populous state. A member of the California Assembly represents almost 500,000 people. The average number of people in a lower house district in the rest of America is about 40,000. So, you know, our districts are about 10 times larger than the average, which means we have very expensive elections. It means that there's very little personal contact between legislators and the members and the people who they represent. And also our small legislature means that we have, you know, it's not nearly representative of the diversity and of the talent that exists in California. I can't help ourselves.
A state senator, I think, has to represent more people than a representative to the United States Congress. Jim Wunderman.
Right. Yeah, certainly that's an issue that would have to be on the table, is to question whether Californians are properly represented given the current configuration. And, obviously hard to represent a million people and actually be able to do it properly.
Jerry in Walnut Creek has some thoughts on our topic this morning. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very opposed to a constitutional convention. I think that would just be a big talk fest, especially the fact that we'd require another two-thirds supermajority to get anything accomplished. There's a very simple solution to our problem in California right now, and that is to get rid of the two-thirds supermajority that is required to pass a budget. As was mentioned earlier in the show, we are one of only three states in the country that requires this, and it's just holding us hostage year after year after year. I think that what we need to do is get rid of this two-thirds majority, have a budget passed by a simple majority. That's how the people that we put into office to elect us get elected, by a simple majority. They get elected by one vote majority, and that's what we need with our budget.
Jerry,
clear,
thanks.
And simple.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Joel Fox, that's an idea that you agree with as well, right? And that's how we used to do it.
Well, the idea that I put forward is what I call Back to the Future. The way we had a provision in the state constitution from 1933 to 1962 that said if the budget went up 5% or less, it would need a simple majority vote. If it went up beyond that 5%, it would require the two-thirds vote. That's the way we operated from 1933 to 62. And then one of those constitutional revision efforts, cleaning up the Constitution, decided to get rid of the majority part of that procedure because they really never had a difficulty in those days achieving the two-thirds vote. I think that that's a pretty wise idea in my mind because that 5% serves as sort of a spending cap. Yet it allows for growth in the budget every year, and it has an incentive of passing a budget with a majority vote if they remain below the 5%. So that's an idea that I've put forward in some of my writings.
Jim Wunderman.
Yeah, well, we agree with Jerry, and excuse me, that was one of the items that we put forward in the Chronicle piece, that the two-thirds vote, we're only one of three states that do that, and here we are almost 2 months out into the process, and we seem to keep repeating this year after year. So we think that has to go. But a friend of mine, after I sent the piece out, Bill Maher, used to be on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. I hope I'm okay telling this. He sent me a note, and he said he disagreed with me on it because he said that the two-thirds is a necessary check that, you know, this group of current Republicans needs on a Democratic legislature that's kind of too far out there and would do the wrong things if given the opportunity to do it. And, you know, I think there's something to it, and that's why I believe that we need to abolish the two-thirds. A simple majority is appropriate, but we also need to be able to find a way to elect a more centrist group of legislators to represent us in California who would deliver a more balanced package at the same time, you know, and not from gerrymandered districts, so that we could actually pass a majority and feel more comfortable about it. And then, of course, if they go too far, with the majority party goes too far, then there's a good chance that the other party will take control.
Some of our emails coming in. Bob writes, there's no way that we can find Californians of the integrity and intellect to rewrite our Constitution. After all, it was Californians who got us into this mess. John in Berkeley writes, I don't expect anything good to come of this. California voters have set things up so that the budget cannot pass by requiring a two-thirds majority for it, and that sets up things that are problematic. Add to that ballot box budgeting, requiring certain expenditures for schools or whatever that have tied the hands of the legislature and governor. All of these rules are extremely popular. I don't see any way to repeal any of this stuff. Some thoughts from some of our listeners emailing in this morning. Let's go next to Jeff in Sebastopol. Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'm a fourth-generation Californian, and one of your guests addressed the issue kind of jokingly about dividing the state into two. I think the state needs to be divided into two. We are so bulky, and our interests are so diverse from Northern California to Southern California. I think we could get our budgets better handled if we were actually two states. Let the Southern California handle theirs, Northern California handle ours, and we'd be much better off. Thank you.
Jeff, thanks for the call and the observation. Unlikely to happen, I would suspect. Mark Paul?
I think it's easier to imagine rewriting the Constitution than the rest of the United States, allowing California to have divide into four pieces and they have six extra senators.
But is the idea of changing the legislature, having each representative represent fewer people, a way of getting at that north-south divide, a way of making the state more governable?
Well, actually, I think that the caller, the north-south divide is sort of a residue of our past. We're more divided these days, east-west, with the liberals along the coast and more conservative people living inland. We're a large and complicated state. It's not an easy state under any system to govern. But I think, you know, some of the callers are exaggerating the extent to which we are polarized. Our political disagreements, you know, even though they're fierce, they're over a very relatively narrow range of issues. You know, for instance, in the budget, you know, we're fighting about, there's a fight about a tax increase that would amount to, you know, less than one penny of every $2 of the state's total output. They're important disagreements that people have, but it's not like they're over fundamental questions about whether or not we ought to be democracy and about fairness and the way we treat one another. It's important to remember that how much we have in common.
Mark Paul, senior scholar at the New America Foundation. JT is up next in Petaluma this morning. JT, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I commend Mr. Wunderman for his proposal and the way he's going about it. So if it's splitting the states not the solution, I'd like to hear more of the Bay Area Council's ideas about redistricting reform. I'll take my question off the air.
JT, thanks.
Well, there's a redistricting proposal that's headed for the ballot, and we think it's a good idea to have the districts take a natural shape and to have the folks who are in charge of creating them be removed from the process of actually representing those districts. I think it's a mistake to have the legislators be in charge of forming their own districts. It seems to lead to some very oddly shapen places that don't have anything to do with a community and so forth. The bigger problem, I think, Mark alluded to, is that there tends to be concentrations of political ideology along the coast and along in the central and eastern parts of the state. So no matter how you redistrict, unless you gerrymandered the state with long east-west districts, you probably end up with just a few more competitive districts than we currently have. So we think that what needs to be looked at is either a open primary system or abolish parties as players in this and open it up and maybe have runoffs so that you could actually end up in a situation either way where you had two Democrats running against each other, two Republicans in a general election. And if you had that, we believe you'd end up with the centrists in those races would do very, very well. You'd end up with a moderate legislature that could work with a more moderate governor and hopefully lead us to a place and address these big issues that we seem intransigent on today.
Joel Fox, what's your thinking on the redistricting solution? Because as Jim Wunderman just suggested, no matter how you draw districts in the Bay Area, you're going to get quite liberal representation, all of essentially one stripe, unless you were to gerrymander, as Jim is suggesting, and have a district that sort of headed east from Berkeley all the way out to Tracy or something. So how could you go about that? Do you like the idea of an open primary? Is more middle of the road good? Or is, in fact, the fact that we're divided in this state something that really should be represented in our legislative bodies?
Well, I think, first of all, I supported the redistricting initiative in the special election of 2005, and I'm supporting the initiative that Jim mentioned that's going to be on the November ballot. And I also supported, and I think it was, Mark's probably going to have to help me with the date again, but I think it was 1998 or 1996 when we had an open primary measure on the ballot, which actually passed but was thrown out by the courts. So I think those are good ideas. And I do think that, obviously, in San Francisco, whether you redistrict or not, you're going to get a left-leaning representative, and there are parts of the state where you'll get right-leaning representatives that will represent the voters in that state. But what we should not have is what we have in some districts, and I'll use this as an example, even though it would not be affected by this ballot proposition, what they call the ribbon of shame that runs, you know, only 2 miles or 3 miles or 4 miles into the coast and runs 200 miles down the coast. That's a congressional district we have in California. That's just not right. So it should be communities of interest. Cities should stay together. They shouldn't be split up. And I think that would be helpful. But I think an open primary would be fine. And I think, because I think what we're talking about is the marketplace of ideas. And people will coalesce around certain ideas, and I think that's what will move us forward.
Kevin in San Carlos is up next. Kevin, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to address this. You know, there is probably some merit to the idea of creating a fresh debate around the idea of a constitutional convention, but frankly, at least one facet of that should be a focus on re-changing the designation of these so-called citizen legislators. And by that I mean legislators who are able to make huge outside incomes while still in the legislature. To me, that just ties them so closely to special interests. I mean, take, for example, Willie Brown, who was Speaker of the House, used to quite unashamedly, I thought, brag about all the money he was making while a Speaker of the House, paying for $30,000 worth of Wilkes-Bashford suits every year. Buying sports cars with reckless abandon. He seemed to have no shame about it. He wasn't making that on his salary as Speaker of the House, I assure you. And it seems to me that that has to be the primary focus of any change in governing. How can you have legislators like Don Parada and Willie Brown and others making fortunes while they're legislators? It's absurd to even consider that government could function under that circumstance.
Kevin, thank you. Mark Paul, on the professionalization and I guess the lack of monetizing on the part of our lawmakers.
Well, I think, like Kevin, a lot of Californians are you know, rethinking, you know, the change that we made in the legislature back in the 1960s to create a full-time professional legislature. I mean, that's been a subject of debate. I know that, you know, it's something Joel was on the last Constitution Revision Commission during the Wilson years, and that was a subject that at least got talked about during that process.
But that's the irony of Kevin's point, in a way. Kevin is saying we shouldn't have a situation where legislators can make outside money. One of the solutions to that is normally to have a full-time legislature. We have a full-time legislature, and that still, Kevin is saying, takes place.
Right. I mean, that is something that if people are interested in changing, although a lot of Californians believe that, you know, the legislators should get most of their income from outside their legislative work so that they're more connected
right.
with the society as a whole. So you've got people on both sides of that issue.
Scott, it joins us this morning from Greenville, South Carolina. Scott, go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering if your panelists would favor any kind of change or removal of the ballot initiative system from California's Constitution. I know from listening to this program it's caused some funding constraints with its the ballot initiatives dealing with education, for example.
Scott, thank you. Jim Wunderman.
Well, as I think I said earlier, I think the legislature should have its opportunity to review a submitted initiative and have a chance to legislate it that's germane to what was submitted. Because, you know, what's happened on numerous occasions is that, whether well-intended or otherwise, we end up with a matter now in the Constitution that we can't fix and the legislature can't fix, and it's not serving us in the best possible way. So at least that. I don't know that we could convince Californians to give up the right to engage in the initiative process. If it were up to me, we would try to do it. But in the end, one of the things about this, the state constitution and the way we could put a convention together that's unique is that rather than go at a series of these things where some might pass the more popular and some might not, if it were convened by the legislature, it could all be wrapped in one big package. You know, this is how we reform California, and people might be able to look at that and say, well, I don't like everything about it, but since this committee came together and they worked this out and I really don't like the status quo, I'm going to vote for this with a up and down majority vote, we might get the big change we're looking for.
Sort of like the old base closing idea. You've got to wrap it all into one package. Otherwise, if you peel it off one by one, you never get anywhere.
Exactly.
But Mark, you know what, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
But one thing that we should,
Joel Fox.
We talk about, as I started off talking about the practicality of the big idea, which I think it should be debated, is how does it play out? Somebody on the panel talked earlier about how we make a lot of our political decisions with 30-second ads. That's going to be the same result. The same thing is going to happen if after this entire process we have a constitutional convention, a new package is put forward. It still has to be ratified by the voters. And we have to remember that certain people who don't like one proposal, I've been involved in a number of initiatives. If an initiative has one tiny flaw, it's four pages long, it has one paragraph that somebody attacks, they can take the initiative down.
Yep.
I think the same thing would happen with a constitutional convention. I don't know if the opponents would be successful, but we have to understand that that's going to be the political end game, that someone who doesn't like one change, getting rid of Prop 98 or Prop 13, may attack the whole package, and after all this effort, on an up or down vote, the whole package could come down because of one particular interest fighting one particular change in the Constitution.
Mark Paul, let me take you back for a moment to your days as an opinion page editor at both the Sacramento Bee and the Oakland Tribune, and ask you about how we might begin to change, if indeed you think it should change, the mentality in California of this sort of proposition pass happy way of approaching governance. I'm always struck when I walk to the grocery store and see people merrily signing signatures. Oh, it's about victims of crime. Sure, I'll sign that. It seems so ingrained in the way we approach things. Is it, should California's newspapers lead the way and say, you know what, don't pass any propositions? I mean, how could you begin to change that approach?
Well, when I was at the Sacramento Bee, we had several years that was our default position, is no, unless you can really persuade us otherwise. We've seen in California over the last century that we've had the initiative, that, you know, there's been ebb and flow in the initiative process. And I think that we've seen a lot more activity in the last a couple of decades, in part because the initiative process, the things that have been done there have so weakened and hamstrung the legislature that it creates this vicious spiral that more and more people, as the legislature gets tied in knots, more and more people figure, I've got to go to the ballot in order to get anything done. And so it's a complicated problem, you know, as Jim alluded to figure out exactly, you know, what role the initiative process should play in a reformed California. I mean, I agree with Jim that Californians don't want to give that up, and I probably, shouldn't give it up as a real safety valve. But we do need to think about, you know, how we strengthen the representative part of our democracy, which is actually, you know, is ultimately the real core of how we govern ourselves, and not allow the initiative process to keep fatally weakening it.
couple of last emails I'll squeeze in. Rick writes, I have a property in New York without the two-thirds majority for passing a budget. The taxes are extraordinary, and the state looks even worse than California. Lloyd writes, if I own a large company with employees hired to provide the company budget and they don't, they're fired. The only change needed in the Constitution is that. Balance the budget or you're gone. Last quick thoughts from each of you on how we tackle this massive problem and whether or not the Constitutional Convention is the way to go. Joel Fox, quickly, please, your last observation.
I think it's worth a debate and a discussion because I think it'll focus on some of the problems in California. I think we have to consider how it plays out, the end game, and all the obstacles because there are plenty of them.
Mark Paul.
Well, I agree with Joel that it's a very much a conversation worth having, and I think it's a very important thing that Jim's group, which represents some of the largest and most important businesses in the state of California, now see that they have a reason to enter this conversation. One of the reasons of the weakness of California governance has been the absence of many of our leading business leaders from the state discussion.
And on that last point, Jim Wunderman, your last thoughts, because you're not some, you know, starry-eyed, hazy dreamer in some ivory tower. You lead a business group. I mean, you want to do this because you think it's the right thing for California and the right thing for business.
No, you're wrong. Actually, I am a hazy-eyed dreamer. Well, and in that regard, you know, I think we've become so used to not accomplishing things in the state that everything seems daunting, and so why wouldn't a big idea seem that way? But imagine a process in which some of the state's most favorable leaders, Senator Feinstein is very popular, a former governor, a combination of former governors and leaders, Governor Schwarzenegger, the leaders on both sides of the legislature could come through a process and we could put something before the voters. And despite special interest opposition, there would be a plethora of government figures, media, major media, and major interest groups coming together and saying, it's time, let's support this. I think we could pass major reform in California that would be in the interest of the people.
Jim Wunderman, his column on this appears in this morning's San Francisco Chronicle, if you want to give it a look. Jim Wunderman, Joel Fox, and Mark Paul, thanks all very much for being part of our program. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor, Dan Zoll. Our executive producer is Ramul Ramirez. Our interns this summer, Joey Kahn, Shazia Jaffrey, Kelly Pretzer, Megan Rollins, and Allison Van Diggelen. Thanks all to them for their help. This is Forum, and I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.